Welcome to Cryptopreneurs Radio, brought to you live by the Tough Talk Radio Network. Cryptopreneurs Radio is a community of entrepreneurs who strive to affect change and increase the public acceptance of cryptocurrency. We are the miners, entrepreneurs, and innovators getting involved in the evolution of digital currencies. Now, here's your host, Tony Gambone and Linda Ballesteros.
All right, welcome to the show. My name is Tony Gambone, and I'm here with my co-host, Linda Ballesteros. And hey, we're coming to you live out of Houston / Portland. One of the great things about internet radio, we can be in different locations and all be on the same show at one time. So, Linda, welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks, Tony. I'm looking forward to it today.
You know, I'm really excited. We have been pushing cryptocurrency leaders on the show now, going on 4 or 5 weeks, and we've been blessed to be able to go on Amazon and different platforms and find experts in the field, people that are doing different things with cryptocurrency, so that people can learn more about what it is and what's coming down the road. We've had leaders like Tom McCurran. We've had Joe Ciola and Andreas Anopoulos, and today we have a different view on the cryptocurrency from Tatiana Moraes. So I'm really excited about this, and I didn't think 6 months ago, you know, we've been doing radio together off and on, you and I, for 7 years, and I never thought that we'd be doing a show on cryptocurrency. I just learned how to spell it a few weeks ago, and the thing of it is that we are now starting to get involved in cryptocurrency, and it's very fascinating to find out what's coming up kind of maybe late in the game as far as Bitcoin, but pretty early in the game as far as 600-700 different companies out there creating a coin, a currency, you know. So what do you think?
Well, you know, Tony, it's really interesting because I have been – just as interested in every single one of our guests on our radio show as I'm sure that the audience has been, because we've been getting great feedback and we're bringing different perspectives. You know, there's so many different facets of cryptocurrency. And, you know, today is certainly going to open up our listeners' mind about other creative ways to use this digital currency. It's fascinating, Tony. And like you said, I never would have thought that you and I would have been having a conversation about a digital currency because, you know, if it says technical in it, I'm running in the opposite direction generally.
Yeah. Yeah, it's very interesting for concept for me is I think that if I went to college, well, I think my parents would have been really excited, right? But as the years have gone by and I'm getting rounding the turn to 60, one of the things I find very interesting with the internet radio platform is we are able to get so educated so quickly from people from all corners of the world and doing all different types of things and the latest things that we would never even imagine. So I feel blessed that we are able to have that opportunity and that we have the internet to do that and that the people are willing to come and share with our listeners what it is that they're doing. So I just want to touch a couple things here for the listeners that are following us regularly. You know that you can find us at Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, at toughtalkradionetwork.com. You can just type Tough Talk Radio Network or Tony Gambone or Linda Ballesteros in your Google search bar. We'll pop up. We're really excited about our guest. I want people to call in and join the conversation, 347-989-1363. Become a part of the information available. Learn more about what's coming. You know, it's funny. I was in the bank the other day, and I got a chance to sit down with the bank manager. And I never go in the bank. I'm always at the ATM machine or using my phone from home. But I had the chance to ask the bank manager if he knew anything about cryptocurrency. And he kind of looked at me with that smart bank manager look and said, no, And I asked him if he heard of Bitcoin, and he said, well, kind of. And I asked him if he's noticed that a lot of people don't come in the bank anymore, that they just go through the ATM or their phone. And he explained to me that they started leasing out the offices inside the bank building, which really made me see a lot of what people were saying is that the brick-and-mortar buildings, much like Blockbuster, are going to go away, and people are going to be using a machine and their phone to spend their money nowadays. So I don't think the banks are going to go away. I think they're going to join into the fun as well. But very interesting stuff, and I was really excited that he had mentioned about the office space being leased out, because it showed me that all the stuff that I'm learning is really what's coming down the road. So,
mm-hmm. And, you know, Tony, talking about banks, for those of you that are not following us on Facebook, be sure to do that, Crypto-Preneurs, because I'm always posting, or we're always posting articles that support much of the conversation on our show. You mentioned banks, Tony, and I had recently posted an article about J.P. Morgan Chase, which was a bank that I worked for many years, and how in the beginning, Jamie Dimon thought that it was just a fad and that it would play out and it would fizzle out and Bitcoin wouldn't be around for long. Well, he's had to retract his words and say, well, you know, maybe we'll investigate this. And now they are looking to partner with some of the, with a digital asset is what they're saying for a blockchain trial, because now they see that there is validity in it. It's not going to go away. And like you said, Tony, I don't think banks are going to go away, certainly in the next 10 years, but I do think that the services that banks provide is going to evolve into something that we as the consumer will better benefit from, and we're going to have choices too. And I believe that Bitcoin has opened the way using blockchain, so that we don't have to depend on just one way to do it. We don't have to go through the banking system. There's going to be alternative systems as well. And I think they call it internet money. You know, there are a lot of new terms coming out. So, folks, as we're learning, we're passing that on to you. And I hope you're ready to take notes today, because we're going to be giving you a lot more information today as well.
All right. Well, that being said, let's take a commercial break, because I really want to bring up our guest who, well, she is a graduate of Berklee College of Music. Now, when I first started reading her bio, I was thinking cryptocurrency, music, not seeing it. Okay. You're going to be fascinated in what she has created in her business and how she is funding her music business using cryptocurrency. So fill up your coffee cup, get another bottle of water, get a bigger piece of paper, and be ready to take notes and call into the show. You can ask questions, join the conversation, 347-989-1363. Let me say it again, 347-989-1363. And you can listen by phone, but if you have a question or want to join the conversation, press the number 1 on your phone and our producers will bring you up. So we're going to take a commercial break and we'll be back after these here quick messages.
Did you know that an estimated 52 million Americans listened to internet radio in the last month, or that weekly internet radio audience has increased 60% over the last year, and that more than 8 in 10 people are online from any location? Tough Talk Radio Network is a company dedicated to providing a platform that allows opportunities for guests, hosts, and sponsors to market themselves through the internet radio medium, where they can be heard by millions. To find out how Tough Talk Radio Network can help you, go to toughtalkradionetwork.com.
You've written a great novel, and now it's time to sit back and roll in the dough. Not In today's saturated world of book publishing, an author must know how to sell their book. At the Celebration of Authors event, we have created 12 fun-filled, information-packed seminars to help give you a valuable boost in selling your book. Join us on April 30th in Austin, Texas, as we celebrate writing and marketing. To learn more, go to txauthors.com and click on COAD.
All right, welcome back to the show. My name is Tony Gambone, and I'm here with my co-host Linda Ballesteros, and this is Cryptopreneurs Radio. And we have a special guest today, Tatiana Moraz. And she, as I mentioned, she is a graduate of Berklee College of Music and has had an extensive music career managing and promoting top New York in a top New York recording studio. Sorry, I've lost my place here today. She has been a premier female singer, songwriter in the Bitcoin community and activist community. So here's what I was talking about. When I started reading this, I'm like, okay, what does that mean? And she's toured the globe singing and speaking alongside of Ron Paul, Gary Johnson, Jill Stein, and Judge, I can't even say his last name, but at events inside of Bitcoin. And so I want to stop here because I think I'm going way off track here. I just want to bring Tatiana up and find out more about her, okay, and find out about the coin that she's created of her own. Tatiana, welcome to the show.
Hey, guys. Thanks very much for having me on. I'm excited to be on your list of illustrious crypto guests. I know all the people you've had on, so that's great. I'm glad you have an interest in this unusual topic.
Well, so, Tatiana, what we always do on the show is I don't usually read too far into the bio because you can see my lips and my tongue don't all work together at this time of the morning. So
that's
what
okay.
I'd like to do is start back a little bit and tell people where you're calling in from, where you're from originally, and what got you on the path of music.
Sure. And I think, you know, my whole life story is sort of all leading up to this point in a strange way. I grew up in New Jersey. My mom is from Poland, and my father is from Brooklyn. So, you know, a lot of personality there. And, you know, I would go to Poland every summer, so that had sort of an influence on me. And also, when my mom would take me and my brother skiing, she always played, you know, there were long drives up to the Catskills, and she would always play music in the car. Even though my dad was a singer, my mom's music was a little bit more up my alley, and she would play a lot of 60s and 70s songwriters. So one of the main ones that really kind of impressed me as a child was Cat Stevens. And I remember listening to his music and being so moved by the song Peace Train and about the idea of using music in order to bring about change and to, you know, push the culture in a certain direction and to influence ideas. Then in high school, I was reading a lot of dystopian novels and, you know, 1984 and Brave New World and all those kinds of books. And they really, you know, shook me to the core. And I was very concerned about, you know, what's going to happen to mankind. Even when I was little, I was worried about that. I remember I went to my mom and I said, Mom, you know, why don't we all just put our money in a pile and then everybody can take whatever they want. And, you know, what's the problem? And she says, no, Tanya, that's communism and it doesn't work. And, you know, she was from Poland, so she should know, right? So anyway, you know, all these things got me, you know, thinking about it. And then by the time that I went to Berklee, I became really disillusioned with the music industry because that's when, you know, all the Britney Spears stuff and the boy bands were coming out. And to me, that was the antithesis of what music should be used for. And after Berklee, I ended up going into New York, and I was managing a number of different recording studios. And again, it was the same thing where these really lousy artists were getting funding. And as a person who had, you know, music had such a great impact on my life, I felt that our society was losing by not being able to have good music. So I started dabbling in different kind of documentaries, and I was a really big Dennis Kucinich fan in 2008. I knew about Ron Paul, but I couldn't understand certain aspects of his position. So he was second place. I, you know, was really into Dennis Kucinich and was watching all these documentaries. And then around 2011, I found out about the Federal Reserve. And when I found out about the Federal Reserve and just in general Austrian economics, it was like a light bulb went off. And I kind of knew the direction that I needed to go. And I was watching all these, you know, Ron Paul videos. And I remember seeing Amy Allen, who was who had this really popular Ron Paul song. And people were saying to her, Amy, why don't you write more songs? We need more songs. And she's basically like, leave me alone. I have more things to do than just write political songs on demand. But I thought to myself, well, I could do that. And so I started going to different rallies and stuff like that. And I ended up singing at them, and everybody loved it. And I was very fortunate because I had found my niche. I traveled all around the country doing different kind of political rallies for Dr. Paul, and then later on for Gary Johnson. And, you know, my album, Love and Liberty, which was my second record, had a lot of music with those kinds of themes of freedom. However, I found that, you know, the political system was so corrupt that I lost faith in its ability to bring about the change that I wanted to see. And I also felt that even though I had a lot in common with different people that I was meeting along the way, if they didn't happen to be libertarian, if they identified as a Democrat or as a Republican, they wouldn't listen to what I had to say because, you know, that's not their team. And that was really disappointing because to me, music is supposed to bring people together and not separate them. And then in August of 2012, Tony Gallippi from BitPay, him and Stephen Pear basically sponsored me at an event down in Tampa. And then they came up to New York and they tried to explain to me about Bitcoin. And they talked to me for about 3 hours and I didn't understand and I didn't care. And I wanted them to stop talking and let me eat my lunch. But they were, you know, very, very sweet and very earnest and very passionate about it. So I said, okay, well, you know, here's a couple $100 and, you know, buy me some Bitcoin. And so that was that. And I kind of ignored it, and I kept doing all these different events, but the attendance was really down, the morale was really low, and, you know, it was kind of dying out, and it was really kind of a depressing time for me because this was something I was so passionate about. Then, of course, Bitcoin went up, and obviously that's going to have a little bit of an influence on whether or not somebody cares about it because all of a sudden, you know, my money had tripled, and I was much more interested. So I went to a convention in Atlanta with Jeffrey Tucker, and Jeffrey Tucker had this cryptocurrency convention in October of 2013. And when I got there, I still didn't understand what they were talking about, but what I had recognized was hope. And I knew that because when I first got involved with the Ron Paul movement, everybody was so creative. Everybody was giving of themselves freely. There were people from a number of different backgrounds. It was Republicans, Democrats, everybody getting together. And I saw the same thing with Bitcoin, but this time I didn't have to have a label for it. And this time there was no asking for permission. It was a very revolutionary idea. And again, it had so much creativity there that it inspired me to write a song about it. So I figured, okay, well, you know, I can write a jingle. We got to sell this thing, right? So I wrote the Bitcoin jingle, and I went to, Buenos Aires in Argentina, and that was the first ever Latin American Bitcoin conference, and this is when the price had spiked to like $1,000 a coin, so everybody was high on Bitcoin, and I remember being really, really nervous in front of a room full of 300 people, and I had played for, you know, 4,000 people at one point during the Ron Paul movement, and I was still really, really nervous, but I went up there and I sang the song and everybody cheered and it was really an amazing moment. And then afterward, I also sang the song Masters of War, which I cover. It's an old Bob Dylan song, if you're not familiar with it, really deep, sad song. And after my performance, Andreas and I became friends because that the understanding that I had that Bitcoin had the power to unseat the war machine from their power position, that really kind of connected with him. And Andres was very kind to me and did a podcast about me on Let's Talk Bitcoin and did an interview with me. So that was really, really helpful for my career.
Well, Tatiana, you know, when I listened to your music, it did take me back. You know, I'm a baby boomer, so it did take me back to the 60s and some of the music that came out of there that had such an incredible message. And it's really clear that you do have a passion for grassroots efforts, because I think that getting on the Bitcoin train is certainly in the beginning was a grassroots effort, because it was all by mouth and it was not something that everybody understood to begin with. And like you, in the beginning, I'm not a technical person, so the thought of digital currency kept me away from it. Because I didn't understand wallet, I didn't understand mining, and all I understood was using credit card the traditional ways. But what I love is the way that you have created this idea and this creative use for a digital currency that can support the musicians out there, because they're like you. I believe that there's so much great talent out there that doesn't get on the labels, that doesn't get on the big stages. And I feel like we're missing out on just listening to some great music and great artists because, you know, they don't have that look, or they're not what in the mold. So what made you think that using a digital currency could help your creative projects?
Well, I mean, I obviously identify really strongly with everything that you're saying. And, you know, one of the examples that I use a lot is, you know, in the 60s and the 70s, you had a ton of songs on the radio that were against the war. Have you heard a single song against the war in, you know, on mainstream radio? I don't think so. And I'm sorry, you know, maybe sometimes there's some reason to have a war, whatever, that's a debatable point, but certainly not to be invading countries and drone bombing people everywhere nonstop. And even if some people believe in that, there has to be a dissenting voice, and none of this is represented at all in our music. Our culture is crumbling, in my opinion, in large part because of propaganda in media, in film, in television, and in music. So when I was introduced to the folks over at Let's Talk Bitcoin, I went and I met with Adam Levine, Adam B. Levine, not the Maroon 5 guy. And Adam runs Let's Talk Bitcoin, and he's on a show with Andreas. And Adam and I started talking about how we could help artists, because the bottom line is that artists don't have money. And if they get a record deal, they're still getting a bad deal, but also they don't get to control what they say. So Tatiana Coin was the first coin ever that was an artist coin, but also that derived its value from the content that I create. So there were a few things that kind of went into it, and it's sort of gone through a little bit of an evolution, of course, which is to be expected from its initial iteration. But, you know, one of the problems that artists have is if you do a crowdfunding campaign, okay, you know, I do an Indiegogo and you donate $25 to me. And I always use this as an example because there's always man shirts. There's never women's shirts. And I want a tank top. I want something that's flattering, that looks like a girl. I don't want another sleeping outfit. I have 20 freaking man shirts. But if I want to donate to somebody, that's all they're selling at that price point, you know, and I'm stuck with it. And there's no real accountability for the prizes. There's no way to really give it to somebody unless they happen to like that shirt. It's hard to kind of get value as a user or as a person who's donating. And that's sort of a limited experience for people. Then there was another thing that happened. Oculus Rift is that virtual reality thing, right? They're the virtual reality glasses. And when they did their Indiegogo campaign or Kickstarter or whatever, they raised $2 million. And everybody got, you know, a pen or whatever stupid thing they got, some sort of swag. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, a year later, they sold the company for $2 billion with a B dollars. And all those people that started that company, basically, through donating, got nothing but a couple of T-shirts, a pen, and, you know, a shiny piece of paper. I mean, they got nothing out of it, right? nothing that they could use, and they weren't rewarded truly for their participation. So Tatiana Coin basically allows me to sell tokens, which are like digital gift certificates, just like you'd have to Starbucks or Walmart or whatever, that you can use in my store. But you're paying for it in advance, and it allows you to get different discounts. It allows you to have, you know, special exclusive content that's just created for the people who are funding my career. And it allows you sort of kind of bragging rights. Oh, whoever has the most points, they're the biggest fan. And it keeps them in constant contact with me. We're currently developing a way to allow it to have a messaging layer. So, for example, I get a lot of different messages on Facebook, and it takes up a lot of time to write back. And then also, Facebook, sometimes if somebody wants to reach me, they'll charge them a dollar. Why is Facebook getting a dollar to send me a message? That's crazy. They don't want to talk to Facebook. They want to talk to me. Why am I not getting that dollar? I could use a dollar from time to time. You know, a cup of coffee. I mean, artists have no freaking money. So, you know, and then there was the other issue, which was, I'm sure you guys had, you know, a MySpace page or a Friendster. And when you go from platform to platform, as, you know, things progress, you're losing contact with your fans. And then you have to go back and rebuild your entire friends list. But now Facebook has made it that if I want to reach my existing liked people, you know, people who like my page, I have to pay Facebook in order to advertise to them. And my users don't even know that they're not seeing my posts because they're inundated with information. Unless they're thinking about me all day long, they're not going to know to go to my page and see what I'm up to. So the coin allows me to have direct feedback and direct messaging and direct everything with my fans. And they actually feel like they're a part of what I'm doing. And I feel I have a real support system.
Exactly, Tatiana. And what we have found so much, and that one of the reasons that Facebook and all the other social media platforms have become so popular is because you can build those relationships. And it is important to build those relationships. And what you're wanting to do is to have that a very intimate relationship with your audience so that they feel that they can reach out and touch you and they feel that they can connect with you, because that creates a very dedicated following. So for them to be able to participate in the Tatiana coin, I think it's a great way of using digital currency to stay in touch with your audience. Now, tell me other ways that you see artists being able to use a digital currency to help with maybe a project that they have, or possibly a new album, or a new direction that they want to go in. What are other ways you can help artists in identifying uses for digital currency?
Well, there are a lot of different things that are progressing for artists with digital currency. You know, there's digital rights management and different ways.
I think we lost her.
I think so.
Yeah. Well, let's do this, Lynn. Let's take a commercial break, and we'll get her back up on the line, and we'll be right back.
You've written a great novel, and now it's time to sit back and roll in the dough. Not. In today's saturated world of book publishing, an author must know how to sell their book. At the Celebration of Authors event, we have created 12 fun-filled, information-packed seminars to help give you a valuable boost in selling your book. Join us on April 30th in Austin, Texas, as we celebrate writing and marketing. To learn more, go to txauthors.com and click on COAD.
All right, welcome back to Cryptopreneurs Radio. We have Tatiana back up. So, Lynn, are you there?
I am here.
Okay, so let's continue our conversation. Sorry about that, Tatiana. We're at the mercy of the internet.
No problem. It's okay. I know sometimes these things happen.
Right.
You know,
and Tatiana, you were talking about how artists can use digital currency to promote products or create to leverage digital currency in different projects.
Yes. Well, so what I did when I did my coin was I allow people to donate. And since then, because of the donations that I received, which was probably about $10,000, I was able to fund my album. And so now I have my third album of my own, full length, but this is the first ever album funded completely on cryptocurrency. So that's a credit to all my fans and all the people that believed in this idea. And so I think that, you know, now I also have these coins, so I can basically sell them at any time. You know, sometimes people, they write me and they say, oh, can I donate? I feel so weird because I feel like I need to give them something back for that donation. But I could say, yeah, just get some Tatiana coin and then you can donate that way. But then they're actually getting something. So those coins they can use in my store at any time. And it kind of gives me an incentive to keep creating sort of exclusive content for my fans, making that a special experience for them. So while there are these other ways that people can use the Bitcoin, you know, like the community, for example, is very supportive. There's ways of tipping artists. You know, you can save a little bit on transaction fees and you can do different things like that. I actually think that this is, in my experience, the most compelling use case, because what artists need are two things, money and fans, right? You don't want to play to a room of two people. And you can't do it all. It's just impossible. This is, you know, the time where we have these independent musicians everywhere, but that means the independent musician has to do the job of 10 different people, and that's really, really difficult to do. So I think that that's the first problem that we need to solve. I think that there's a lot of really interesting, compelling projects in this space that are exploring other uses for the blockchain. And for basically helping artists collect their royalties and make sure that they're getting credit for things that they're writing and letting them license out their music in a really easy way. But I think that a lot of that stuff is dependent on it becoming accepted in a more mainstream way. Whereas if one other artist creates their own artist coin, you know, that's a success to me. I mean, I've already used it in a way that has, you know, supported what I needed to do. I have an album. So mm-hmm. Now we're creating an app that will allow other artists to do exactly what we did and kind of customize it to whatever way they want it to work. And I don't want to ever own that for people, right? And I shouldn't. I don't want to be the next Facebook. I just want to help other artists tap into their audiences in a more sustainable way than just a traditional crowdfund.
Now, Tatiana, as you're talking here, I could see this this application not just strictly for artists, but for others who have a passion about something. You know, whether it's a movement of some sort where people could donate and then tap into the swag store, so to speak, and cash those chips in. So. And if you're listening out there and you're not a musical artist, then think of other ways that maybe you or someone that you know could use this to promote a mission, to promote a purpose, to promote a movement of some sort. I think, Tatiana, you've really uncovered a great way to use this digital product. Tony, do you have any questions for Tatiana? Because I know you've been sitting back there taking notes.
Well, and as challenged as I am in my note-taking, we do have some people that had some questions as well through social media. So, you know, Tatiana, great stuff that you're talking about, especially for musicians. It's a hard area to raise money in, as you mentioned. And so one of the questions that we have, and time goes really quick here, so we're going to try to get through the three or four questions. Is your coin is one question that we have from Jim out of New Mexico.
So my coin was built using Counterparty, and Counterparty is built on top of Bitcoin. So it's related to Bitcoin, but it is its own separate thing at the same time. Counterparty and similar kinds of protocols basically, well, Counterparty specifically builds on top of Bitcoin, and then it allows other people to create digital assets on top of that as well. So I use Counterparty. I think that there's going to be, you know, other ways to do that in the future. But I never try and weigh in too much on the tech stuff just because I usually defer to Adam Levine. He's great with that stuff, and we're teaming up with the Fermat guys as well. So, you know,
okay.
The tech stuff, I kind of leave it to somebody else. I don't think somebody could do it without getting some guidance, which is sort of where I think that there's an opportunity for me to kind of help others with that.
Okay, very good. That's a good question, and I hope that answers his question. I didn't even know that was a possibility, so that's cool to learn that there. The other thing is there's I know there's over 600 different organizations creating cryptocurrency, okay? I know that Bitcoin sort of broke ground for this to become an opportunity for others to do. And I also know that there's a lot that goes with it, with the mining of it and, you know, the blockchain. And there's a lot of technical words that a lot of people already know about, but and we don't have enough time at this point of the interview to go through that. But do you own Bitcoin and do you own, I mean, like Jay-Z has his own coin out now, right? So maybe he's following your path or you're following his, but do you own other currencies or other types of coins?
I actually don't know of Jay-Z having his own coin. I'll have to look into that. But, yeah, I mean, I think that Bitcoin has allowed a lot of different creative ideas. And, you know, you got to kind of be careful with what you're, of course, investing in, because some things are, you know, just like any business, right? You know, just randomly just give people saying, I have a business. Oh, really? Here, just take my money. Don't even tell me about it. But yeah, I think that there's a lot of opportunities creatively to improve the world, and different coin projects, you know, they rise and sometimes they fail. But either way, it's improving our understanding of this technology and the ways that we can use it beyond Bitcoin.
Okay, very good, very good. So I hope that answers questions for the people out there. I know for me, I'm looking into different types of coins. I know that Fidelity and Citibank and other banks are creating coin. You know, it's part of our future. And I'm really thankful for Bitcoin because they broke the ground on it and sort of made all the different things happen because of what they learned along the way. And as you mentioned, and I think it's important for everyone out there, get an education on what it is that you're trying to invest in or be a part of so that you can make better decisions. I didn't know that you could work off the top of Bitcoin and do what you're doing, so that's very good information for people out there, especially if they're trying to get outside the box and be different than other opportunities that are out there. So that is awesome. And we're out of time here, so can we give everyone all the contact information? And I want to mention a couple things, too. You have your own show that you do, I believe, weekly. And, you know, I've found you in a lot of places with a lot of people that do cryptocurrency. So give everybody the information how they can find you and connect with you.
Sure. So like you mentioned, I have the Tatiana Show every week. That airs on liberty.me and then also on Let's Talk Bitcoin. So it's on my SoundCloud, which is Tatiana Morose. My website is tatianamorose.com. You can buy your Tatiana coins there right now if you want to support me. We're sort of in alpha testing still, and the app is coming out soon. But in the meantime, that's all on my website. So tatianamorose.com. My Twitter is Queen Tatiana or Tatiana Coin. What else? I have so much stuff going on. Oh, and then I'll be putting out a new album in just a couple months. So we're working on all that stuff. And also I have a company called Crypto Media Hub. And what we do is advertising and marketing to the Bitcoin space. So if you have a business and you want to tap into the Bitcoin industry, we have a great PR partner. And then we also focus specifically on advertising to this community. So lots of ways to get in touch with me, and I really, really appreciate being on the show, guys. Thank you so much for having me on.
I'm learning so much from you, Tatiana. I didn't know there's a space to advertise inside of that platform, so that's very cool. I'm going to look into that. It's such a growing space, And, you know, it's kind of like, well, one day Blockbuster found out that a little ATM machine down the street was spitting out DVDs, and they kind of closed up the doors, right? No notice at all. And they tried some things after that, but it didn't work. So this is the future. How fast it's coming, I'm not sure. But how fast you can learn more about it, I know that that's just a choice you need to make to look into more of. So I hope that people will go to your website and click on all the buttons. Okay, it's just your name. It's Tatiana Moroz. It's MOROZ.com. And learn more so that you can make a better decision. And one more thing. You told me you're going to be in San Antonio and you're in Austin sometimes, and I'm down here in Texas. Tell us when you'll be in San Antonio and if people can connect with you there, where at?
Oh, sure. So I'm actually going to be in a number of different places over the next few months, although they all blend together. So I'll be in San Francisco, but I'll be in San Antonio for the state convention, the Libertarian Party convention, in April 8th to the 10th. And I might try and set up a little tiny gig or something when I'm in Texas, in Austin, because I have a lot of friends there, and that might be kind of fun. But, yeah, so if people just go to my site, all my upcoming dates and stuff are on there. And then hopefully I'll see somebody at a show and they'll say hi.
All right. Well, I'm going to try to make it there. I'm going to keep following along. So once again, thank you for your time today. Thank you for sharing what you're doing with our audience. And we really appreciate it.
Thanks so much. I really appreciate it. Please send me the things so I could send it out on my social media. That'd be great.
Okay.
Thanks.
Well, when you hang up, go look in your email and it'll be sitting there.
Great. Thanks, guys. Bye now. Have a great weekend.
Bye.
Sorry, right. Not quite there, but bye.
Okay, Lynn, I'm going to take a commercial break, and let's come back and recap. There's a lot of information there, a lot of things that I learned that I didn't realize. I didn't know that you could work off of Bitcoin. I didn't know that there was tokens that you could trade. Some good stuff, good information for especially people that are trying to raise money to build a business. So we'll take a break, and we'll be right back.
Did you know that an estimated 52 million Americans listened to internet radio in the last month, or that weekly internet radio audience has increased 60% over the last year, and that more than 8 in 10 people are online from any location? Tough Talk Radio Network is a company dedicated to providing a platform that allows opportunities for guests, hosts, and sponsors to market themselves through the internet radio medium, where they can be heard by millions. To find out how Tough Talk Radio Network can help you, go to toughtalkradionetwork.com.
You've written a great novel, and now it's time to sit back and roll in the dough. Not. In today's saturated world of book publishing, an author must know how to sell their book. At the Celebration of Authors event, we have created 12 fun-filled, information-packed seminars to help give you a valuable boost in selling your book. Join us on April 30th in Austin, Texas, as we celebrate writing and marketing. To learn more, go to txauthors.com and click on COAD.
All right, welcome back to Cryptopreneurs Radio. My name is Tony Gamba. I'm here with my co-host, Linda Ballesteros, and we just had a great interview with Tatiana Moroz. And as you heard on that commercial, the TX Authors Conference is going to be on April 30th in Austin, Texas. It's a great opportunity for you to be a part of a very large community of authors. There's going to be 13 different people presenting on how you can better yourself as an author or even become an author. So check it out. Go to txauthors.com. If you're looking to be a sponsor of this show, hey, let us know, okay? You can go to toughtalkradionetwork.com and fill out a form for one of us to contact you. Or you can email me at tony@tonygambone.com, and we can get you set up to do that as well. Linda, what a great interview. What did you think?
Well, you know, Tony, Tatiana brought a completely different facet to our conversation about digital currency. The way she's using digital currency, and she has created her own digital coin, the Tatiana coin, and this was something I've never heard of before, Tony. Of course, there's a lot about this I haven't heard of, but that But she has built her coin, Tatiana Coin, which rides on top of Bitcoin. And I had no idea there were companies out there. The one that she mentioned is Counterparty. And what they do is they do all the developing of your own personal coin. I thought that was fascinating because it's a way for artists to receive tips, to receive donations, and you can stay connected with your followers. I thought it was a great idea, Tony.
So we could actually create a cryptopreneur's coin.
That's what it sounds like. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Fascinating,
yeah, how about
isn't
that?
It? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't know if we have any time to do that, but it's something to think about, right?
Well, we could get our spouses to do that.
I'm going to end the conversation right there on that note. But you know, I find it interesting that she came across this through a political connection.
Mm-hmm.
And so far, I've never heard anyone talk about this politically, and of course you can't go by me, I haven't listened to everything, but she kind of tied it into you know, the political campaign. Have you
mm-hmm.
are you familiar with that at all? I mean, have you heard that?
Well there is a movement, and one of the reasons that Bitcoin I think was developed was to kind of bypass some of the government hold on your money. I found a quote this morning. You know I'm big about quotes. I found a quote this morning, so if you don't mind, I'll share it real quick.
Okay.
The quote goes like this. I think the fact that within the Bitcoin universe, an algorithm replaces the functions of the government is pretty cool. I'm a big Bitcoin fan. That's a quote by Al Gore. He was the 45th Vice President of the United States, and he's always been really a big activist out there. So there is a part of the digital currency that does bypass some of the government hold on your money or the bank hold on your money. And I think that's the movement that she has connected with to give us more freedom and more flexibility to pay each other without encountering fees through the banks or through the government.
Hmm. Interesting. That's a whole nother side of it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I just Googled it, too. I just Googled Al Gore Bitcoin, and I found a cartoonist as well. I didn't know Al Gore was on the Bitcoin. So, I mean, we don't know what we don't know, right? And these kind of shows are able to show us more things that allow people to dig a little deeper, to learn a little bit more, so that they can stay along with the future. Now, being in the banking business as many years as you were, do you believe that the banks' buildings are going to go away? Do you see that as something coming down the road? I mean, with all the apps on your phone now and how people can do banking from their office or their home?
Mm-hmm. Well, as far as the brick and mortar, we've already seen banks really shrink. The number of locations, actual storefront locations, have reduced in the last 10 years because of ATMs. I can drive through an ATM machine and get money. I don't have to go to a bank and face a teller to get my money. So I think that banking is evolving, and it should. Like any other industry out there, Tony, it has to evolve. It has to provide the consumers what we want, not what they want us to have. And I believe that, maybe not in our lifetime, that banking will not look the way it does today. And to be honest with you, banking doesn't look the way it did when I first started in banking. So it's time for more changes, and I think that, you know, we've heard many, many times that digital currency is a disruptor. And I believe that's what's happening here, is we will see the use of digital currency disrupting our traditional financial our financial industry.
I'm curious to see, you know, how that's going to be. I really do believe that in time to come, you know, children will know about a dollar bill like my children know about an 8-track tape. Mm-hmm. It's not going to be something that they're familiar with because it just wasn't around, you know. And with the next generation coming on board, it's kind of hard not to accept that there's big changes coming. So I'm curious to see how that works. So anyway, we talk about Bitcoin a lot. There's a lot of different coins out there. And as I look at Litecoin, OneCoin, boy, the list just keeps going and going on all the different types of coins out there. I don't see machines coming out for these coins like they do for Bitcoin. Are those other coins, are you familiar with any of them? Are they available to spend? I mean, I know I can't buy Bitcoin. I don't have $300-$400, okay? And if I did, then how do I spend it? I guess I'd go to an ATM machine or a wallet or something like that. But what about all the other coins that are coming out? Have you heard anything about them being able to be spent?
You know, Tony, we had Joe Cicciolo on our show a couple of weeks ago, and he actually works with the compliance of ATM Bitcoin ATM owners. And he said that right now that Bitcoin is the only coin that's being transacted with ATM machines. However, there are other ways to transact your digital currency. And in fact, some of them are even partnering with a more traditional way. And I think this is where we can get to the masses, is to introduce them to digital currency, but allowing them to access it in a very traditional way, like maybe a credit card, a Visa, or a MasterCard, so that they can access their money and use it at merchants that don't have to be accepting Bitcoin. Because right now, if you're a merchant, to my knowledge, and you know, we may have some listeners correct me out there, but I think right now for a merchant to accept Bitcoin, you know, they have to accept the Bitcoin. They can't accept a credit card that allows that person to access their Bitcoin and transact business through a Visa or a MasterCard or a credit a money card of some sort. So I think that's one of the ways, Tony, that they're getting the message out to the consumer that really is afraid, the way I was, of Bitcoin.
So, you know, we just had the Super Bowl. And, as you know, a lot of, you know, I watch the Super Bowl to watch the game, but there's a lot of people watch Super Bowl, and I do the same thing, too, for the commercials. And on the Super Bowl commercial was a PayPal commercial. And I don't know if you've seen that. I know you've been kind of busy. But the PayPal commercial on the Super Bowl showed me something huge. PayPal's been around, goodness, I think I've had an account for 10 years. And it made it to the Super Bowl. I mean, that's a lot of money. So that's a form of a currency that's not done through a bank. And so what do you think, or did you see that? And do you think next year the Bitcoin's going to have a commercial?
You know, it's a big possibility because I remember when PayPal first came out, Tony, and I thought, that is a great way for me to pay someone and not have to put my credit card information on their website. Because back then, we were very protective of our credit cards. We didn't want to put that on the internet. But now you can actually use Bitcoin through PayPal. You can use Bitcoin on Fiverr. You can use Bitcoin on to purchase so many products and services that, who knows, there may be a commercial soon about using cryptocurrency, digital currency, Bitcoin, that, you know, exposes a lot more people to it. It'd be great.
Yeah, I was just really I was excited about that because, I mean, this is a new avenue of revenue or money that we're seeing and a way of spending money. And I just thought it was fascinating that PayPal showed up on there. Usually we're looking for Budweiser or, you know, Chevrolet or Ford. When PayPal comes up, and they're, you know, it's probably one of the most expensive places to purchase commercials is on the Super Bowl, especially Super Bowl 50. This is just a big step, I think, in the currency world. So never thought I'd see that on there. I didn't think they would qualify up on that ladder. So to me, it looks like it's coming. So anyway, we're just about out of time, Lynn, and you know, this show for me has been fascinating. Every week to bring in people with different views of cryptocurrency, using it in different ways. We've had we had a compliance officer on for ATM, Bitcoin ATM machines, and learned a bunch of stuff I didn't even know that was someone out there doing that. And also the amount of ATM Bitcoins there are, not only in the States but in the world, I didn't know that either. So that blew me away. And then I found out there's one here in downtown Houston and two in Dallas. And so who knew that kind of stuff? And I think that you and I doing this show is really allowing us to learn and others to learn more about what's available in their own neighborhoods.
Absolutely. And folks, if you're listening out there and you are an expert in one of the different facets of digital currency, like Tony says, go out to toughtalkradionetwork.com and request to be a guest on our show, and we can review what you bring, because we always want to make sure that we bring good quality guests to the show. And because we have a responsibility to our listeners here. So, again, thanks so much for joining us today on Cryptopreneurs Radio. Be sure to listen next time and let us hear from you. We love getting the emails, folks. Thanks again.
All right. We'll see you next Wednesday, 9 a.m. Central Time, here on the Cryptopreneurs Radio Show.
You've been listening to Cryptopreneurs Radio, brought to you by the Tough Talk Radio Network. If you'd like more information about this show, please visit cryptopreneursradio.com.